1690 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial resumes today. Later this week, Judge Juan Merchan will hold a hearing on Trump's repeated violations of a gag order in the case.
Prosecutors first said Donald Trump violated the gag order 7 times. Now we're up to 14 alleged violations. Prosecutors have asked the judge to hold Donald Trump in contempt and to impose financial penalties. So it's really all eyes on Judge Merchan on what he is going to do with these gag order violations.
ABC's Olivia Rubin. Cops killed in Charlotte, North Carolina. A joint federal and local fugitive task force went to arrest a man. There was a gunfight, 8 officers shot, 4 killed, as was the person they were trying to arrest. House and Senate negotiators have agreed on a $105 billion bill designed to improve air travel safety. Among other things, it'll increase the number of air traffic controllers. This is ABC News. California and a New Jersey pharmaceutical company have a deal under which California will begin selling its own generic version of the opioid overdose-reversing Narcan. An outfit named Amneal Pharmaceuticals will sell naloxone to California for $24 a pack, or about 40% cheaper than the market rate. Major League Baseball taking action after player complaints that the smaller font size and thinner materials make the new uniforms feel like anything but Major League.
Commissioner Rob Manfred said in February,
"In baseball, any new initiative, there's going to be some negative feedback."
But the league has now listened. In a memo to players obtained by our partners at ESPN, baseball says Nike innovated something that doesn't need to be innovated, and the uniforms will be changed no later than the start of next season. Larger lettering will return to the backs of jerseys, mismatched pants and tops will be rectified, and so will the jersey's issue of collecting sweat. Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
Well, Matt, this is really great. I'm glad I called your football game that night.
Yeah, me
I
too.
Still remember that. That's the last game I ever did at the Bonta Bowl.
I think that might be the last game I ever played at the Bonta Bowl also.
Yeah.
So we share that together.
What
too.
A great place that is, though.
I loved it, man. Playing on that field, it was so loud being in the bowl there. The crowd noise.
Exactly. Yeah. I still remember that night. It was a rainy night.
Yep.
Isn't that funny? I got weird memories of games.
It is. It is.
Bizarre.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. The UW system made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media Radio. Civic Media. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming sunny this afternoon. We'll get to 65 for a high today. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, a chance of an isolated thundershower after midnight, our low down to 50. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 71 with more showers tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Mino and the Mayor.
Today's also lingerie day. John, did you ever buy lingerie for anybody?
Yes.
I never did. Even when I walked through Walmart?
Yeah. Well, who would buy? I sure would buy lingerie at Walmart. My God.
Todd, can you take that clip and make a promo?
Let me write that down. 6:12.
I never buy my lingerie at Walmart.
Milo and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, we'll get into the many ways rural Wisconsin could be harmed if a budget blueprint written by far-right lawmakers were to become law.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
From farm to fork and everything in between, we cover it all. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
And the good news, it looks like sunshine is going to cover the state of Wisconsin today, at least for a good chunk of it. Welcome in, everybody. It's a Tuesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Youngke. It's going to warm up today as well. Unless you're along the lakeshore, you'll see temperatures reach the low to mid-70s by the end of the day today. Then we've got to keep an eye on western Wisconsin. Things could get interesting starting this afternoon into the overnight hours. They're telling me there's a marginal chance of severe weather for the La Crosse area going into the evening. Tomorrow in the Madison, Milwaukee area, back to sunshine, temperatures right around 70 degrees. And for western Wisconsin, tomorrow you're looking at partly cloudy skies. The rest of the details as far as weather is concerned, I'll leave to Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist. He's on the way. We're also going to be catching up with some of the folks that Stephanie Hoff and Charity Seebecker are visiting with in Washington, D.C., including a chief ag negotiator in the trade representative's office that's focused in on the message, all the testing for high path avian influenza in dairy and now beef means to our trade partners. Stand by. That's all on the way.
To help take care of your ag operation, you're going to need the brand that you call One Tough Animal. Bobcat Plus, they carry new and used Bobcat equipment and also feature a full service department, parts, rental, so there's no need to worry about downtime. Skid steer loaders, mini excavators, utility vehicles, and so much more. There's a Bobcat Plus location just down the road. Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere. Those chores around the farm just got a lot easier. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, One Tough Animal.
Welcome back. Today, I want to introduce you to a farm just east of Wisconsin Dells in the community of Endeavor. Gums Farms runs over 6,000 acres of corn and soybeans, but also high-value crops like carrots, onions, potatoes, and mint. Just stop and think about that. 6,000 acres that grow enough vegetables for many families in the state of Wisconsin, plus they're growing jobs for their area community. I talked about it with Roderick Gums, one of the brothers that runs Gums Farms, and I asked him to explain a little bit more about what they grow, why they grow it, and their relationship, not only with their vendors, but their community.
We're growing potatoes, onions, carrots, mint, corn, and beans. The reason we're growing a lot of those types of crops, of course, our experience and our grandfather growing mint, we continue to do that. And then the potatoes, seems rather red potatoes do well on the muck. And onions, most of the onions in the Midwest and out east are growing on muck type soil. And there's opportunity in those and we've been able to capitalize on that because of the proximity mm-hmm. to the population. 280 million people grow on the eastern half of the U.S., and so we're closer to the population.
Interesting. Now, how does that change your day-to-day operations versus somebody that's just doing corn and soybeans?
Every crop has its own advantages or disadvantages or specialties, I'll say. But for us, the onions and potatoes, we spend a lot of time on them. They did a lot of technology in those crops. We're not only in the production where we're using guidance or monitoring or sensing where we're looking at soil moisture or weather. When we start storing those crops, that's where some of the technology is really beneficial, because we can monitor a storage, we can monitor the temperature, the humidity. We can do that now remotely rather than having to check it twice a day and those types of things. And then when we get into our pack shed where we're adding value at the farm level, we have been able to use technology there, do some automation that's been able to reduce our cost and reduce our labor and put those potatoes and onions in a package that will end up at somebody's local store. And we're proud of the fact that we can produce something that comes off of our field and get to the consumer's table.
Do you have to focus on traceability at all? The components that you use on that field, where's this load, that type of thing, Roderick?
Yes. You know, food safety is a very important aspect of what we do. We just had a pre-planting or a planting meeting yesterday with our employees, and food safety was a topic there, and we went over some things. And in our pack shed, we're audited as well there, and we take that very seriously. And that's talking about traceability. We keep a lot of records all the way through from planting to harvesting to where stuff is stored, and then when it's packed, we have codes or lot numbers that we're able to put on invoices and things like that we're able to trace something back right to the field or where it was grown.
You are also responsible for forging new relationships with vendors, with people that will feature your products. You are visible at Quick Trip. That's a relationship that you want to work on maintaining.
There's a lot of great people that we work with, and that's probably one of the more visible ones. That's, I'll say, a Wisconsin company that I would consider local and very supportive to communities, and we're proud of the fact that we're visible there. We've been working with them for I think over 10 years, and anytime we see our label or can have our product in the store, we're proud of that fact.
How hard is it to get stores, locations, to pick up the Gums Farm brand?
We spend a lot of time on making visits and inviting different buyers out to the farm to show them the farm. And because we grow the crop, store the crop, pack the crop, we have control over the quality and we're the farm. And by doing that or being that, it sets us apart from maybe just a packer or some of the competition. But there's a lot of good people that we work with, and we just try to do the right thing at the right time and be at the right place. When the opportunity arises, we try to be visible, and we've been in it a long time, and some of the business that we get is just by luck to some extent, and the fact that we're just visible and try to do the right thing.
I got to ask you, I want to take you back to the pandemic when everybody suddenly had a very strong appreciation of their food and that phrase, "Know My Farmer, Buy Local." What happened here at Gums Farm? Did you have people coming down the driveway when everything started shutting down? Or tell me a little bit about what that was like.
Our employees were very fortunate that they were committed, and they couldn't be traveling, couldn't go anywhere, and we because we store our product and had supplies, and as you well know, everybody was stocking up, and we were able to meet the needs of our customers, and we ended up working some long days, and actually we worked a couple Saturdays and Sundays, which we typically rarely do, in order to fulfill the customers' orders and do our part. We were considered, I think what they called them, essential businesses. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we were able to operate and function. And we tried to take the necessary precautions to protect our employees and those types of things. But we had very good attendance, and our employees were very dedicated. And we took it very seriously to supply all of our customers, and we were able to do that on a timely manner, and we're glad we were able to make it through that time.
Did that pivot help you gain more buyers, more interested parties that said, "Wow, we don't want to go through that again," and look what they did?
I think that did put a little bit of a spotlight on the fact that if you are able to supply during that time frame, and people never before that ever considered that there would not be a supply of something. And I think that we've been trying to talk about relationships and a partnership, and not just trying to, with our customers, having communication and trying to be a reliable supplier that's stable. We've been trying to sell that point, because never before that was that ever a concern or on anybody's radar that they may not be able to buy what they wanted when they wanted. Price was a factor and still is, but what's more important is if you can have the product on time and have it when you want it.
Special thanks to Roderick Gums and his brother Richard for inviting me out to visit Gums Farms just east of Wisconsin Dells in the community of Endeavor, encouraging all consumers to slow down in that grocery store and really pay attention to whether or not you're buying local. Read the labels. You can find out more about Gums Farms and what products they produce online at GumsFarmsWI.com. That's G-U-M-Z FarmsWI.com.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it, unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
Terry Barr
yes.
from Slice of Wisconsin is standing by. Hi, Terry.
Hi, guys.
How are you, Terry?
I feel like I should be a referee right now.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
You should have been here an hour and a half ago.
Absolutely, when it was really hard.
Right.
A
little blood on the floor, but we're okay.
Yeah, we're okay.
We got a cleaning crew here.
Good. Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Trump is back in court. I'll feel better about that. And he's coming to Waukesha on Wednesday. Tune in, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
With high-path avian influenza being detected not only in dairy products but also in beef. The bottom line, according to Doug McCallop, chief agriculture negotiator in the Office of the United States Trade Representative, is that our dairy products, our beef products, are still completely safe. Why does he say that? Well, he says basically all of those food products are involved in pasteurization, homogenization, or being properly cooked, which should eliminate any active virus.
The tests that have come back so far have shown the PCR tests that the virus was killed by pasteurization. They're going to continue with 38 states worth of testing, so we're going to have a really solid body of work to point to, but absolutely pasteurization makes a difference. I think for a lot of reasons, we want to see consumers have pasteurized product, and I think this is another example of that.
That's, again, Doug McCallop. He is the chief agricultural negotiator in the Office of the United States Trade Representative. Now, obviously, let's think about trade. If the United States finds something scientifically that says, oh, be careful, it could shut down some of our borders when it comes to trade. He said he's monitoring the situation, and so far, no one's raised any alarms.
We haven't seen widespread trade implications. That's still the case today. We want it to still be the case. That's why, you know, we always want to have science-based discussions with trading partners. If we adhere to the science, we're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. The U.S. has undoubtedly, I think, the best animal disease surveillance in the world. We have the strongest food safety protocols and programs in the world. We know early and we know often what our issues are. But again, I think this is something that's certainly many countries are going to have to confront this, and it's in everybody's best interest to adhere to the science, and that's going to keep trade moving throughout this process.
Doug McCallop, again, he's with the U.S. Trade Office and talking about what we've got to keep an eye on scientifically and otherwise with this high path avian influenza situation. And, you know, like you said, this is not just a U.S. issue. This high path avian influenza has popped up around the world, so we may be setting precedents with all the testing that we're doing, despite the fact that it's a little laborsome for the dairy farmers specifically that have to begin those tests if they're moving animals. Let's pivot now and talk weather. Stumach Ag meteorologist joining us. If you're going to be moving animals, if you're going to be moving farm equipment, I like what I see as far as the weather today, my friend.
Yeah, today is pretty nice. Tomorrow will be all right. Tonight, well, that leaves something to be desired, because that's where we have to throw some rain in.
Yeah, and I see even our buddies in western Wisconsin, that La Crosse area, it sounds like they've got, what did it say, a marginal possibility for severe weather.
It's marginal, very marginal. It looks to me like severe weather should stay a little further west, but it's something to watch, keep in mind for tonight. What's going to happen here is a low pressure system swings up out of the southwest. We have a nice sunny break today. That next low is going to build up towards southern parts of South Dakota, get the right state, and cross pretty quickly up through Minnesota late tonight into the early morning hours of tomorrow. Now, most heavier rain will be in northern Wisconsin. As far as Wisconsin is concerned, there is that very small chance of a little severe weather up into northern Iowa, far south Minnesota. I don't think we have to be overly concerned there. And this system moves through pretty quick. Rain amounts tonight up to a quarter inch or so. That's about all we expect. A more organized system then starts to build on in. And late Wednesday night on into Thursday, showers and even some thunderstorms begin to roll in. And that rain chance sticks around then Thursday into the day Friday, and at that time, we could see another half to 1 inch of rain, if not even more. So it does get more wet as we head toward the end of the week, but just that quick toward the weekend, small or very slight chances of rain, and not too bad as temperatures are concerned heading through the weekend. Doesn't sound too bad. May stay a little too damp, however. We'll watch that develop. I'll have forecast details right after this.
What do you look for in a lending partner? Someone who supports smart decision-making for your farm or ranch, agribusiness, investment, or community. Someone who values relationships. Someone who, when you face adversity, looks you in the eyes and says, "We are here." Find the lending partner you're looking for at Compere Financial. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
If you got to take one for the team, at least look to Bobcat Plus to help you out. Bobcat Plus has been keeping you from the aches and the pains of the tough jobs for years. Bobcat Plus carries new and used Bobcat equipment, and all locations have a full service department, parts, and rentals. They're in Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere, featuring a full lineup of compact wheel and truck loaders, mini excavators, compact tractors, zero-turn mowers, hundreds of hard-working attachments, and so much more. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast. Like you said, I like what we've got coming our way today. Tonight might get a little interesting.
Yeah, tonight leaves something to be desired. Today it's sunshine, a nice day, mostly sunny. How about that? And I expect a lot of us to see a 70 or, you know, upper 60s, 71, somewhere in there. South winds 5 to 10, a beautiful day. But the clouds roll in, even very late afternoon or evening. Some rain may develop in western Wisconsin. Showers, could be a thunderstorm in the nighttime. Heavier rain amounts up in northern Wisconsin, a tenth of an inch or two elsewhere. In the mid and low 50s tonight. Southeast and southwest winds develop 5 to 15. Another sunny day Wednesday. And again, just about 70, you know, a little below or above here and there. West winds 5 to 15. But then some rain develop late Wednesday night into Thursday. Showers, possible thunderstorms in the upper 60s on Thursday. And windy east winds 10 to 20, gusts to 30. Thursday night, Friday, Pam, we could talk another inch or more. So keep your rain gauge ready.
Ooh, inch or more, man. Because the rainfall reporters from over the weekend up until yesterday looked like there was a real dividing line. Like some areas got an inch or more. Other areas only got a couple tenths.
Right, and this one looks like over the couple of days, Thursday, Friday, could start to measure up again. So we'll watch.
All right. Very good. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, see ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, with the weather details you're looking for, or maybe not. I know a lot of folks are already getting anxious. They want to try to have more done than they've got done. We'll check in on the latest planting progress report. That's one of the pieces yet on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We continue our series on dark money today, focusing on limited liability corporations, or LLCs, commonly used for organizing small businesses. But LLCs can also be used to hide political donations from the public. In most states, other than the original corporate registration, LLCs are not required to disclose their member shareholders. The IRS treats LLCs as a partnership. So for a federal candidate campaign donation, each shareholder of the LLC must account for it in their $3,300 maximum contribution. Instead, in federal races, LLCs are more often used to funnel money to super PACs, where only the LLC's name needs to be reported. There, the money can get bundled to buy negative ads or other activities in support of a campaign. For state races in over half of the country, LLCs can make contributions directly to candidates. In some states, this means unlimited contributions, and in others, the individual limit with no requirement to disclose shareholders. LLCs can also contribute to PACs, super PACs, and dark money groups. So in most states, LLCs are used so voters won't really know who's behind the money influencing their elections. A few states, like Arizona and New York, are attempting to force LLCs to disclose their members' donations, trying to close what's called the LLC loophole. More on that in our next report. We have detailed explainers and resources at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Keldo Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial resumes today. Later this week, Judge Juan Merchan will hold a hearing on Trump's repeated violations of a gag order in the case.
Prosecutors first said Donald Trump violated the gag order 7 times. Now we're up to 14 alleged violations. Prosecutors have asked the judge to hold Donald Trump in contempt and to impose financial penalties. So it's really all eyes on Judge Merchan on what he is going to do with these gag order violations.
ABC's Olivia Rubin. Cops killed in Charlotte, North Carolina. A joint federal and local fugitive task force went to arrest a man. There was a gunfight, 8 officers shot, 4 killed, as was the person they were trying to arrest. House and Senate negotiators have agreed on a $105 billion bill designed to improve air travel safety. Among other things, it'll increase the number of air traffic controllers. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State School Superintendent Jill Underley says her agency can't implement Wisconsin's new literacy programs until lawmakers approve funding for them. Republican legislators are claiming in court the state can't spend $50 million for new reading initiatives because of a partial veto by Governor Evers. Hundreds of students are encamped at the University of Wisconsin Library Mall to protest Israel's war in Palestine. A group called Students for Justice in Palestine organized the event. It finds its protests against, quote, ongoing genocide and Zionist war crimes in Gaza and against student repression in the U.S. Protesters are demanding an end to the war as well as for UW-Madison to divest from corporations that do business in Israel. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose to the Rays. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was the bottom of the ninth. The Brewers' Jake Bowers at the plate, and a called 3 strike got past the catcher, but Bowers was called for interference, preventing the tying run from coming in. Milwaukee losing at home 1-0, thanks to a bad call by the umpire, says Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Of course, you're frustrated. You know, really, you're frustrated. There's a lot to be frustrated about, but you can't let yourself do it for too long. It happened. We put ourselves in that position. But when that does happen, there's a lot of one-run games. When that does happen, you want them to get it right. And I believe 100% they got it wrong, according to what I just read in the room.
NBA, it's do or die for the Bucks, down 3-1 tonight against the Pacers here in Milwaukee for Game 5. So what's been hurting the Bucks?
You know, when you shoot better than the other team, but they take, 17 more shots than you, you're not going to win that game. It's hard to win that game, and yet we still could have.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
Tuesday morning, join Sandy Williams and I as we take a look back to the presidency of Donald Trump.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming sunny this afternoon. We'll get to 65 for a high today. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. A chance of an isolated thundershower after midnight. Our low down to 50. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 71 with more showers tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
Mino and the Mayor.
We got Amanda here from the Howell Resource Center who fascinates me because she grew up as an Army brat, 4 different countries, 6 different bases.
Thanks, guys. You guys are such good supporters of everybody in this community. And the fact that you have this station that lets nonprofits, for profits, and just, it's just really great. And we really appreciate the support.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Remember.
And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Sure, she'll stop farming when pigs fly. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, and as long as the weather stays dry and warm, we're going to be farming today. So watch out for farm equipment on the roadways you share. A couple quick reminders from the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation to make smart decisions. Be alert, watch out, leave space. And don't assume just because you can see that farm implement ahead of you that the farmer can see you. There's a lot of blind spots with farm equipment. So please don't assume that farmers know you're there. Leave space, watch out, be alert, and make smart decisions. I don't want to have to report about any farm accidents, let alone farm fatalities during this planting season. Today is the 30th day of April. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1789, George Washington became the very first U.S. president. He took the oath of office on the balcony of Federal Hall in New York City. George Washington becomes the first U.S. president this day, 1789. Happy birthday to actor Johnny Galecki, probably better known by us as Leonard from The Big Bang. He's 49 years young. Kirsten Dunst is 42, and holy crow, look at Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson actually celebrates his birthday on 2 different days. He said he was born before midnight on April 29th, but it didn't get registered in the county courthouse until the next day. So Willie Nelson celebrates his birthday both on the 29th and the 30th. Today, he is 91 years young, and now you know. We want you to know more about the Allison Dairyland finalists that will be headed to Door County later this week to finish off their interview process to become our next agriculture ambassador. Saturday night, we'll learn the identity of our next Allison Dairyland. Michaela King would like to be that person. She grew up on a beef and crop farm in Big Bend, Wisconsin, and wants to inspire other young people to find out where their food comes from.
Yes, so I am from Big Bend, Wisconsin in Waukesha County. I grew up on my family's beef and crop farm. I showed 4-H, beef and dairy my whole life, as long as I could. And then I ended up at the University of Minnesota, and I studied journalism and photography there and was super active in the Gopher Dairy Club. I was on their executive team. I produced their yearbook. And then I was also on the executive team for the Beta Chapter of Clovia, which is a sorority all about agriculture and based in 4-H. There's only 2 chapters, the Alpha and the Beta, but we love each other. We're a mighty small group. And then, yeah, finding Alice, I was the 2019 Waukesha County Fair, so the fair. That was the first time I met Alice in person and got to spend some time with her. And it really just launched my love for educating people about agriculture. Waukesha County is very urban, and so our county fair is very much people that have never seen cows before, never really understood where milk comes from, where their food comes from. So I got to spend that time really educating them about that. And then Alice just seemed like the perfect next step to take that to the next level, from a county level to a state level.
You've had a really interesting opportunity to observe people on the Minnesota campus, like you said, at home. Tell me a little bit about what it's taught you about people and agriculture in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think that people really, like I said, being in an urban county, people really have no idea about agriculture. And I think there's a lot of misconstrusions about who farmers are, what they do, and how much work really goes into putting your food on your plate. And I wish that people could have the chance to just shake a farmer's hand and, like, feel how rough it is, because they spend every day working to put food on plates, working to make sure their animals are cared for. They're doing everything. And the thing that I learned most when I was growing up is that my dad, although I love him to death, would put the farm above me, which was fine. That was his passion, his love. And I think sometimes people forget that, like, it's not just a job for farmers. It's a life. It's a love. It's a passion. And I wish that people could really experience that more.
So you may get a chance to do that, share some of that passion. And when you lay awake at nights, Michaela, do you think about, if I could, I would try this. I think that I could do this.
I do. I don't know many people that don't.
Yeah.
If I was to be Alice, I'm most excited to be in a cranberry bog, because they're so cool. I will say I am not looking forward to the rumored spiders that are there in cranberry bogs, but Wisconsin has such unique agriculture, you know, things that people have never heard of, like ginseng, which is such a huge industry here. I'm just excited to explore it all, to learn about it all, and just, like, really dive headfirst into the uniqueness of Wisconsin.
Now, people have heard about your beef background, showing your passion on campus, etc. What don't they know about you, Michaela? Some human interest item. Do you binge watch a flick, or is there something that we kind of... That's kind of cool about Michaela.
Yeah, so my fun fact is always that my nickname growing up was FedEx. I have four amazing siblings, and all of them have bright red hair. I do not. So my brothers like to tease me that the FedEx guy dropped me off and that he was my real dad. So that's my fun fact that I always tell. But kind of the other thing that I always tell people is that my second love to writing is photography. I love taking photos, especially of my family's farm. I was lucky enough to create a calendar for them and create a recap video. And, like, looking back, it has been one of the most rewarding things to just capture the life of my dad and my brother and my uncle and my cousin and just the farm in general, that people can look back and be like, yeah, we did that. Look at us.
From Big Bend, Wisconsin, Michaela King, another finalist that would like to become Wisconsin's next agriculture ambassador. You can find out more about Michaela and the rest of the finalists, as well as the finale event scheduled for Saturday evening in Sturgeon Bay. Just go to aliceindairyland.com.
The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association is kicking off a podcast series that tours specialty crop destinations across the state. Over the next several months, we'll visit strawberry patches, hop gardens, sweet corn stands, and more. WADA Executive Director Sheila Everhart says Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism has a lot to offer.
Wisconsin truly is America's agricultural tourism destination. And agricultural tourism is a way for us to promote specialty crops. It's a way for all of us farmers to work together to bring economic prosperity to our rural communities. It's a way for farmers to have an additional revenue stream to keep that farmland in production, to keep that next generation on the farm.
Learn more at gowiagtourism.com.
So Wisconsin farmers tried to capitalize on every available day to get some field work done. According to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, as of Sunday across the state, 10% of our corn was in the ground. That's actually 6 days ahead of last year, 2 days ahead of our five-year average. Same situation with soybeans. 11% of that crop's already in the ground. We've got 39% of our oats that are already sowed and 11% of that crop already through the soil surface. 75% of our potatoes are in the ground. That's 2 weeks ahead of both last year and the five-year average. In overnight electronic trade this morning, December corn currently down 2 cents at 470. November soybeans down three right now at 1175. The July wheat, that's down eight at $6. Dairy markets yesterday, no change on barrel or black cheese. The AA butter did drop a half a cent to $2.96 per pound. Class 3 milk for May that goes into cheese, down a penny at $18.07. The June milk right now unchanged at $18.18 a hundredweight. Boy, if you've been by a greenhouse or a lawn garden store, you've seen how busy they are this time of the year. Everybody trying to get their green thumb going, and some may be looking at alternative plants to change up this year's garden. Charity Seebecker's got some suggestions on why native plants might be something you consider.
Spring gardening is around the corner, and this year, while you're out shopping and really trying to figure out what to plant, consider native plants. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Amy Stafen, Department of Natural Resources Conservation Biologist, says they benefit more wildlife than you may think.
Let's think about butterflies, for example. So in Wisconsin, we have about 150 butterfly species that could benefit from landscaping with native plants. And a fair number of these, such as the monarch butterfly, are declining. And this is largely due to the loss of habitat and food sources. Native insects evolved over millennia to digest native plants. They have special enzymes that allow them to eat and digest native plants. But you bring in plants from other places, and they are less able to eat and digest them. You know, not native plants like ornamental trees and shrubs, or other plants that are commonly used in home landscaping. And I know most people have come to understand this concept with the monarch caterpillar and how it relies on native milkweeds. And this type of reliance of native butterflies and other insects on specific native plant species as both larval host plants and as adult nectar sources, it applies to many other butterflies as well. And in fact, it applies to many different types of insect species, not just butterflies. But then you can also consider how when you have native plants in your garden and you have all these wonderful insects that evolved with these plants, well, that benefits birds. So about 96% of North America's land birds feed insects to their young. So that's the majority of our birds that nest among us. Really need the source of insects for their babies.
That was Amy Stafen, Department of Natural Resources Conservation Biologist. She says people wanting to add native plants to their yards should start small, keep it simple, and record what and where you plant. Drawing a simple map of what species you're planting where and putting tags out in the ground to help label them will help you make sure that you don't make the mistake of thinking they're a weed when it comes time that they're emerging in the spring. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. All right, we have all had that moment where it is hard to resist an impulse purchase. Last year, I bought this heart-shaped waffle maker because I was like, won't that make Saturday morning so much fun? Well, it turns out when you don't use the darn thing, you don't have that much fun. So here are two ideas to help all of us cut back on spur-of-the-moment spending. First, unfollow your favorite brands on social media. Last year, companies spent $68 billion advertising to us on social media. They know that stuff works. And second, make a wish list. I love this. I keep mine in the notes section on my phone. When I see something in a store or online, and I didn't have a plan to buy it, but I really want it, I put it on my wish list. And if I still want it a week later, I check my budget and I see if I can afford it. Somehow, I don't think the waffle maker would have made the cut. For more tips on spending less and making more, head on over to workmoney.org. Take good care.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded, privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Carrie Kramer from the DeYoung Family Zoo joins us. We're hoping she brings in an animal to join us.
Then Mark Wollstonecraft and Mike Johnson swing in from the Green Bay Bicycle Collective.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Johnson, let's take a look at the broader spectrum. What did you see, John, as far as the latest crop progress report? Any region, any crop that caught your attention?
Yeah, just a couple different things. I mean, obviously, we knew that rain was coming. And just talking to producers, they had the pedal to the metal out there getting things going before the storm came through, especially in the western Corn Belt. We really saw some big jumps there. Iowa, 39% of the corn's in the ground. And again, a good portion of the beans in the ground. And that was the number that I saw that was kind of the most staggering. Soybean planting at 18% nationally. That's the best we've seen here in about 10 years in terms of pace, and maybe one of the best ever in terms of an early start. Typically, we're about 10% planted at this time, but it was one of the things just talking to producers because of the weather coming, the producers feel like they're a little more comfortable getting soybeans in the ground early, that they could ride that weather out with them and then come back with the corn later. Corn just doesn't like sitting in that wet soil if we get the rain that they're talking about. So we're off to a good start, pressure in the market a little bit on the overnight. We'll see how that plays out. Now we got to keep an eye on the forecast here. We're going to be pretty wet till the middle of May. It sounds like we got just a line of storms coming one right after the other here that could keep things fairly limited over the next couple of weeks. We'll see if that really pushes the market or not going forward. Biggest thing we'll have to watch is around the middle of the month. We want this crop in about 50% planted here by the middle of May. And then if that's not happening just because of planting delays, then we could really start seeing the market get a little antsy regarding the crop not getting in the ground or the crop not being as good as we want it to be.
Right. Well, we also talked about how fast we can cover ground with today's technology, too. So that would really be interesting if our numbers fall off. John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend with us. Let's pivot then, John, unless you've got more on the crop progress report, and talk about something that seems to not want to get out of the headlines. Every time we turn around, there's something new that we're trying to reveal about high path avian influenza and its carryover into food related products. We've been talking about dairy. And the I guess we'd say the need for pasteurization. And now we're focusing on beef. Tell me what you're seeing and how trade's reacting.
Yeah, that's going to be the next kind of concern. Article came out late yesterday afternoon. USDA is going to start taking samples here of ground beef from those states that have the outbreak of the bird flu in it. Now we're looking at basically 9 states. We're about 34, 35 herds is what it sounds like that have been exposed to this. Obviously, they've been testing the milk. We had headlines last week about parts of the milk, the viruses being in the milk, even though they were dead or killed through the pasteurization process, and the milk is still safe. But I still think it's kind of shook the market a little bit. Here you had a cattle market yesterday. It was looking really strong. Didn't fall apart yesterday, but didn't really get any boost. I think that's our next concern is does this start showing up in the beef side of the equation and ground beef more than anything. And that's where we're going to start seeing some testing happen there. On the trade side of things, nothing major has come out of it. Colombia, though, is one of our beef importing nations. They did ban U.S. beef here last week as a starting point. That's the only concern I think would be for the cattle market. There there if this does start showing up or has some testing in there, even though technically if you cook products properly, things will be safe. But it's enough to make some of these foreign entities step away from US beef for a while. So that's something that's got me a little concerned right now. I may have put a little bit of pause in the cattle market yesterday.
Is there any other threat from any other country? I mean, avian influenza is not just a U.S. issue.
Very much so. Maybe that's some of the reason we haven't seen anything yet at this time frame. I mean, obviously, avian influenza has really been tied to China and some of the issues that they've been dealing with in the past with regarding that disease. But, you know, again, this is still the first time that it's really ever shown up in cattle in that regard. And I think that's maybe the unknown here in that piece. So it's something we're going to have to kind of watch. You know, it just seems like the headlines die down and all of a sudden another little thing pops up again and the markets have to react or digest it just to find out what's going to be the impact in the longer term in terms of demand for dairy as well as meat products.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is along with us. Again, totalfarmmarketing.com. Their toll-free number, 800-334-9779. You know, it's one of those situations, John, where I wonder if there was another headline out there, world unrest, what have you, would that take the market's attention away from High Path?
It just seems to be the kind of the cycle we're on. It just comes down to the clicks in the media and what kind of headlines draw the attention of the traders that day. You know, right now the world's kind of calmed down at least a little bit. So that allows us to focus back in on this type of a headline. It's just going to be interesting. Again, that's just how modern trade is. Sometimes it's frustrating for producers because it can move things so quickly. But it's just the life we're dealing with right now in terms of markets.
All the more reason to talk to you about risk management, huh?
Very much so, because you never know when this black swan event could hit through the news wires.
Absolutely. Good deal. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. We'll catch up with you next week.
That sounds good. Have a great week.
John Heinberg joining us live this morning from West Bend. Again, he is a fellow that we lean on for risk management advice and global headline updates. You can find him online, totalfarmmarketing.com, or as I said, call 800-334-9779, 800-334-9779. All right, folks, tomorrow bringing you another one of our Alice in Dairyland finalists. Till then, enjoy the day.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
A nonprofit helps rural small businesses apply for solar energy grants today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for Rizol from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The nonprofit Solar United Neighbors is offering free help to rural small businesses to apply for grants from the Federal Rural Energy for America Program, or REAP. Adam Schaller operates Lakeshore Diecast in Baroda, Michigan, and used the REAP program to install solar power.
I have to compete with labor overseas, and I don't want to reduce the labor cost here. I want to employ more local people. I want good quality labor. And so the opportunity to reduce the fixed cost of electricity and taxes really gives me an opportunity to grow my business locally and pay my employees more.
Schaller says REAP offers a combination of grants and tax incentives to offset up to 80% of the cost of installing solar. His system generates more than he can use, and his electrical utility buys the excess.
Everybody always asks how much maintenance I have to do on it or what's the recurring cost. There isn't any. I haven't had to do anything. It just sits out there and makes me money. And as a guy who has to do maintenance on die-cast machines and broken hydraulics and all sorts of different stuff all the time, the solar is the easiest part of my operation to manage.
Find out more on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Pat Kreitlow joins us from Up North News at 10:33. In hour number two, we talk about funding our green spaces with the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
ABC News.